And there was a man in Naon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now, the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail. And the woman was of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Verse 5, and David sent young men with an appeal to him for something for them, all his men. Look at verse 8. Ask thy young men, and they will tell thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand unto thy servant, and to thy son David. And David's men come, and they speak these words to Nabal. Look at verse 10. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I take my bread and my water and my flesh that I kill, or my shearers, and give it unto men of whom I know not whence they are? And so David's men go back and tell the outcome of their appeal to Nabal. Verse 13, and David said unto his men, gird ye every man his sword. And they girded every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. Verse 14, but one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master. And he railed at them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything as long as they were with us. 17. Now therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his house, for he is such a worthless fellow that one cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 skins of wine, and she makes all of this provision, and she gets ready to send it to David. Verse 21. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. And so she meets David as he comes to destroy her household. She meets David. Verse 23. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and alighted from her ass, and fell before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground. And she fell at his feet and said, upon me, my lord, upon me be the iniquity, and let thy handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine ears, and hear thou the words of thy handmaid. Let not my lord, I pray thee, regard this worthless fellow, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young man of my lord, whom thou didst send. And then she appeals to David. She tells all the good things that God shall do unto him. And look at verse 31. That this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my lord, either that thou hast shed blood without cause, or that my lord hath avenged himself. And when the Lord shall have dealt well with my lord, then remember thy handmaid. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy discretion, and blessed be thou, that thou hast kept me this day from blood guiltiness, and from avenging myself with mine own hand, and so on, and so on. Verse 36. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. And it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, that his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal so that he died. And then, look at verse 42. Abigail is proposed to by the representatives of David, and it says, and Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers that followed her. And she went after the messenger of David and became his wife. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all the incidents from life that was recorded in thy word. God, so that we thrilled as we've read about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And now we thank you about this incident in the life of David and Abigail. We pray that we shall take it to heart. Lord, let us know that while there are so many heavenly things that we are to learn, still there are practical down-to-earth things to learn as well. And we pray that some of the lessons contained in this passage shall be learned by us, and that we shall be wise and not fools. You know our sins, we confess them, be faithful and just to forgive, and prepare hearts to receive truth, and empower lips to speak it. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I'm thinking this, that Nabal was a fool when Abigail married him. So often, this is what women fail to understand. That what a man is when you marry him, it may be that he will never change. There is that hope in your heart, well, he is a fool, but I will teach him wisdom. And some of you say, yes, he doesn't know Christ as Savior, but with my wisdom, I will persuade him to trust Christ as Savior. How do you know that? How do you know? However it is, this woman, Abigail, is married to Nabal. And it says, that she is a woman of discretion, of understanding, and of beauty. And she's married to a fool. I wonder if it were something that her parents pressed upon her because Nabal was a man who had great possessions. He was a wealthy man. And so often, a woman, rather than do the will of God, will look at what a man is able to give her, the things he can provide for her, and therefore she will take him as her husband. Yes, he is not as desirable as this other man that I wanted, but this man, though he is not a churlish individual, though he's not a fool, he doesn't have the possessions of Nabal, and he cannot provide for me the luxury and the luxurious life that I want to live. And so for that reason, I am going to marry this man because this man plus his possession is worth more to me than this man who is a man of God who has not the possessions of Nabal. So, whether it was her choice, whether it was her parents that pressured her, God knows. But here is a wise woman who is married to a fool. And this is what I want you to understand the Bible teaches. It says twice in Romans 7, and it says in 1 Corinthians 7, that a woman is bound unto her husband so long as he liveth. And what you must understand was that in the Old Testament, there was no such thing known as a woman divorcing the man. So when she married him, unless he wanted to divorce her, she was his wife until the day that he died. Now, there is no such thing as this that is carried over into the New Testament, because it says that not only can a man put away his wife in Matthew, but it says in Mark that a woman also puts away her husband. So now, it's both ways. And what has happened is this. Inasmuch as we live in the day that we do, we are not concerned about conditions like those of Nabal and Abigail, because if a woman marries a man and he turns out to be a fool or there is incompatibility, why, she simply divorces the man. And if the man is a wise man and he marries a fool, why, there was no problem there. You see, the husband divorces the wife. And then you go and find another. But the Bible says this. It says in Luke 16 as well as in Matthew 5 and in Matthew 19. It says, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery, and whoso marries one that is put away committeth adultery. And so what happens is this, that when a woman like Abigail, a wise woman, marries a fool in the sight of God, she is married to that fool until the day that he dies. Oh yes, she can divorce him, but the Savior says this, if she does and marries another, she commits adultery. Well now that should be the deterrent. That should be enough to make a person understand, oh God, how can this be? I cannot divorce this man and marry another and commit adultery. I cannot do that. But that is no problem today, because the people of God, once that is done, will accept you even though you have married another and committed adultery. And so, there is no problem. In one sense, 1 Samuel chapter 25, no problem at all. If we've made a mistake, well, after all, aren't marriages made in heaven? And therefore, well, all of that is the deception of Satan. Because the Lord Jesus speaks of the sanctity of marriage. And whatever God had said about marriage in the Old Testament that was tolerated because of the hardness of heart, he said, I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, and he lays down New Testament condition. So, let me give you this hope. I remember one brother that was even plainer than I when a woman came to him and said, now I am like Abigail. I am a wise woman and I am married to a fool. She said, what options do I have? And the man said, pray that he die. That's simple enough, isn't it? If the Bible says twice that a woman is bound unto her husband so long as he lives, then you have only one option. Do you understand? You say, pray that he die. Yes, or you could pray for your death, one of the two, because you may take this choice. You may do away with the husband and marry another, but then the Savior himself says, she shall be called an adulteress. Or you may live with this man and pray that God will, in this time and in this way, bring into your life the love, the devotion that you wanted in the first place. So think on these things. I mention them because not all marriages are like Aquila and Priscilla. Would to God they were. But so often we have wise married to fools, and the sad thing is this, once you are scripturally married, you are not to seek to depart from this one, but you are to stay with that fool. Now, let me explain something that would even be harder than what Abigail was experiencing. It's this. If two people are unsaved and one becomes a believer, it says that the believer is not to depart from the unbeliever. But suppose both of them in the past were Satanists, were wicked, abominable sinners, and one trusts Christ, and now this partner desires to worship Satan still, bring up her children under the authority and influence of Satan, continue in sin. The Bible says, if she is contented well with you, you are not to leave her. So here is one, and God says, stay with. So once Abigail is married to Nabal, there is only one way of deliverance according to the Savior in the New Testament, and that is the death of her husband. And think of this, because I hold it out in truth. If it was not Abigail's fault, or if it were Abigail's fault, then God in His goodness and in His grace can see to it that this husband is taken away because of some great sin that he commits. And that is what happened in the case of Nabal. He was a fool, and he acted as a fool. And notice, it was not David that put him to death, but it was God who smote him. And all of the agony that this woman had endured being married to Nabal, the fool, after he committed this great sin, in less than 2 weeks, he had died, and then she was free to be married to another. Now, I can't promise you this. If you are unhappy in your marriage, that your partner is going to die and God has King David waiting to marry you. But I can tell you this, that God can do something like that, or else it may be that God will do for you as He told the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, when Paul spoke about taking away that thorn in the flesh. God said, I'm not going to wait. My grace is sufficient for you. And I'm thinking of this. Suppose two people were happily married, and then the husband went away to war and came back wounded and disfigured. Well, now that he's not the way I wanted him and knew him in the past, I'm going to cast him aside. Well, of course not. If there were truth in you, and if you were a child of God, obedient to the word of God, then with this disfigured husband, in that pitiful condition, you would live with him and do what you could. You would adjust your life to the husband that you have. And in like manner, if you have made that mistake, if you have been a fool in marrying a fool, even though you were wise and discreet most of the time, then what you have to do with the wisdom that remains in you is to learn how to live with that husband until he dies. That's what the Bible says, that a woman is bound unto her husband as long as the husband liveth. So, you don't depart. But what you do is to live with them, and inasmuch as this partner is a fool and cares nothing about the Lord, then it gives you more time to live for God. And you can find your satisfaction in Him. There is that consolation. Rather than look for it elsewhere, other forms of the flesh to satisfy the needs of your life, you must seek them out in God. I mention this because do you realize that many people in the Bible, and I will only mention one, have made mistakes? Why do you think it was that Timothy, that spiritual child of the Apostle Paul, though he was a Jew, was not circumcised? You say, why, his father was a Greek. Why, of course. And why was it, do you think, that Moses did not circumcise his son, Gershom? You say, why, his wife, Zipporah, that foreign woman, didn't want him to. I see. So, when you do marry these people, you'll find that they have their way, and they look upon the very covenant that God gave to the nation of Israel, the covenant in the flesh. She had to do it to save Moses' life. She said, you are a husband of blood unto me, a husband of blood. It was detestable in her sight. And in the case of Timothy's mother, Eunice, for some reason, the 8th day that Timothy came into the world, he was not circumcised. And it had to be carried out by the Apostle Paul when he was a grown young man. I can't go into all of that now, but I'm just showing you that when you have marriages like these, here is a man that is a Greek and he's married to a Jew. And Eunice and Lois are fine women. Faith is in them. But he mentions nothing about your father, the Greek. He says, the faith that first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded in you. And this is the sad thing. that there are times when a woman with faith in her, because she wants a man, she will marry a Greek who's not concerned about circumcision or the things that are sacred to the people of God, or a wise woman like Abigail will marry Nabal, a fool, because she wants all the material benefits of life that come along with marrying the man. Now, it would be delightful if you have a handsome, wise man that had all these material things and he wanted to marry you, but it doesn't always work out that way. So, remember, God says, I have no pleasure in the covenants of fools. And if you make a covenant, you keep that covenant. This is what God wants you to know. Now, as you look over this passage, you wonder about the behavior of the woman. For this reason, as in the New Testament it says, the church is obedient unto Christ in all things, so the wife should be obedient unto her husband in all things. Well, let me mention some exceptions. I told you this. I told you about Ananias and Sapphira. And the only time I would tell you why to disobey your husband is if your husband is speaking about deceiving God, lying to the Holy Ghost, and endangering your life and your fellowship with God. Yes, disobey your husband. And at the same time, in the case of Abigail, if you have, in the presence of God, thought this thing out, and the action of your husband is going to result not only in his death, but your death, but the death of the entire household of Nabal. If God tells you so, then disobey your husband. So, am I telling women now that when they see fit to disobey their husbands, I mentioned two extremes. If it is going to destroy you and God is going to send his judgment from heaven upon you because you go along with a lie in your husband, hypocrisy in the church, yes, disobey your husband and stand for the truth, whatever the consequences. And I've given you another reason. If in the case of Abigail, obeying your husband is going to result in your death, and it's not a husband that loves the Lord, it's not a man of God who obeys God and is worshiping God, but it said this is a churlish man, an evil man. And because of this man's evil ways, you see, not only was he a fool, but in addition to that, he was churlish and he was evil. If this evil man's decision is going to result in his death and your death and the death of everything that is precious to you, then, if you have the precedent of Abigail, then disobey that husband. Or, if you are strong, like some, you can say, I'm going to obey my husband and let his word stand and be prepared to accept the consequences, because this is what happens at times. You say, how is that? The Lord speaks about wives and children, and suppose you knew that what your father did, his sins would be visited upon the iniquities of the father, visited upon the children of the third and fourth generation. If you knew what your father did wrong was going to be visited upon you, do you think you would pray more for your father? You would be interested in the way he lived and what he did? You say, yes, I would. And so for that reason, but God speaks of these things, and by prayer they can be averted. But here is this woman that has gotten into this bondage, a wise woman who is married to a fool. And it may be this. Let me give her the benefit of the doubt. It may be this, that as in Proverbs chapter 31, you have a wise woman who goes out and does business. She buys land. You see, she works in conjunction with her husband. She is authorized by her husband. Now, it seems that when Abigail came and told him the thing that she had done, he gave her no rebuke at all. But it says his heart died within him. It seems as if this woman had some authority, and when she spoke to the servants, they obeyed her. They did not say to her, we're not going to do it. Your husband would be angry with us. He would put us to death if we disobeyed him. They didn't say that at all. In fact, they came and they spoke to this woman, because evidently they knew that if they spoke to Nabal, he would reject them. But if they spoke to his wife, who was wise and prudent and discreet, then she would listen and she would do something about it. So the only consolation about a wise woman that's married to a fool is that at times a woman who has done this can be a blessing to the fool. She can avert him from destruction. But in this case, the wisdom of Abigail only preserved the life of her husband less than 2 weeks. That is what is so sad. All right. Here is this woman that has disobeyed her husband, but in doing so, her life is preserved. And you see the hand of God in it from the things she says and from the things that David says. And I would bring to your attention her wisdom and her discretion, because if a woman like that came to me and gave those arguments, I don't know what I could do, whether I could resist her. First of all, she comes and she reverences David. She falls at his feet. She speaks of herself as David's servant. And then she denigrates her husband. She says, Nabal is his name and folly is with him. His name means a fool, and that is what he is. He is a fool. And then she says this, I want you to understand that God has used me to withhold you from being guilty of innocent blood. I want you to know that. And then she goes on and tells David all the wonderful things that he is and that he's done and how God is going to give him success and exalt him. And then she says, and not only so, but if after I tell you all these things, if you still go ahead and carry out your purpose of destroying me and my husband's household, then when you become king, how will you be able to explain it to others that are of the tribe of Judah? You will have all of these difficulties. And she said, now, after I've told you all that, just one thing. God is going to give you success. And when he's exalted you, she said, remember me. And David's heart was won over. To think of that woman with her wisdom, with her acumen, being married to a fool. And so that is why I warn all of you young ones who are single, do not marry unless God gives the go-ahead. It says he that findeth a wife, and that is a wife in the sight of God, one that God has chosen, he findeth a good thing, but if not, it is a miserable thing. This is what it speaks about, a contentious woman, like a dropping of water, and it speaks about quiet and peace in the corner of a house. You see, these things happen so often because people rush into situations like this and they do not understand all the consequences that they're going to endure the rest of their lives. And so here is this woman, and God knows how long she's been married to this man, how long she's put up with it, and whether or not all the benefits of being married to a wealthy man are worth being married to a wealthy man who is a fool. But God brings it about in this one case that her husband dies and then she is able to marry another. And David is one who wants her. Remember me. And David does remember her. And unlike Joseph, who had to wait 2 years when he said, remember me, this woman said, remember me. And in less than 2 weeks, God has remembered her, and instead of being married to a fool, she is married to the future king of Israel. You see? So if you have made mistakes, do this. Endure the mistakes that you've made as Abigail did, and let God work it out. You pray for God's will to be done in your life, and I promise you this, that if you cannot endure it, then God, as in the case of Nabal, will take away the one that you cannot endure. Or if he does not, if you keep your vow as God instructs you to, then he will say to you, as he did to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. But God does not want sin at any time in our lives. And so what happens? You find that wise women marry fools. And God says, you are bound to that fool so long as he liveth. Do not be bound to a fool. Seek the one that God would send in your life. Let us pray. Our Father, let us know how David confesses the sins of his youth. Thou dost know our folly, and thou hast told us about the consequences of our sins, the mistakes that we make. We think of the children of Israel refusing to go into the promised land, saying that they are giants and they're going to destroy them, and they rebel against God, and then God says, then you are not going into the promised land. And for 40 years, they spent their lives in vanity in the wilderness. Our God, let us know how one mistake that we make will involve us for the rest of our lives, and even if we escape it by a sinful route, it will affect us in another way. And so we pray, our God, that if we have wisdom, then let us use that wisdom in the way that you teach us in thy word. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And then, once we are scripturally married, then we are bound so long as the partners live. Let us understand these things, our God, and let thy grace be sufficient. And for all of us who are not in this condition, husbands and wives, let us know the attack of Satan upon our lives today. We pray, Lord, that a wedge shall not be driven in, and we driven apart, but that we shall rejoice with the wives whom we love all the days of our lives, for this is the will of God in our lives. This is our portion in life, and that husbands love their wives and wives love their husbands, and that there be joy. And if one be like a fool, let us remember Abigail, and at the same time, if we have those that we would like to criticize, let us remember ourselves also, as thou dost say, considering thyself also, lest thou be tempted. Our Father, with what thou hast given, let us be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And give us grace, Father, to live with and in thy time and way, overcome for us in a way that is acceptable in thy sight the foolish things that we have done. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.